Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
Man, I'm excited this morning. So we're starting a new series. What's up, TJ? Last week, TJ was preaching. We kind of tag-teamed it. Yeah, he did a great job. Yeah, give him a round of applause. He did a great job. We talked about the devil. Not in a good way, like we didn't give him any glory. We didn't even capitalize his name in our messages. It was kind of, we kind of threw a thumb to him. But anyway, that's better than the middle finger because we're in church. So you got to say, like, I thumbed my nose at him, not I shot him a bird. So anyway, it's different. So anyway, thank you for laughing at that. Because if you didn't, it just would have been an awkward joke and I'd have had to move on. But anyway, so we're starting a new series and I love it because it's super practical, it's super applicable. So my point is I love applicable series. So we're coming off this thing of who is the devil. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, but doggone, it feels like we wrestle against people. And if you've lived any life at all, you've asked somebody a question, or maybe somebody's asked you a question, and this has been the response. So let me ask you this. So you and her are friends, or you and him are friends. So what's that like? Well, it's complicated. You ever had friends that were just complicated? Or what about this one? Because I'm teaching on this one next week. I'm not teaching this morning. Jay is, and I'm super excited because don't tell anybody, but it's Jay's birthday. And
it's complicated.
But yeah, at a certain age, your birthdays do get complicated. But I'm not saying he's there. I'm just saying. But my point is have you ever, even in your own marriage, somebody been like, hey, so how are you and your wife doing? And your response is, well, it's complicated. Because marriage isn't easy. I had somebody literally just laugh. Yeah, you're right. Marriage, by definition, is complicated. It's complex. And what about this? What about the way I interact with the rest of the world? Can I be honest with you? For me, it's complicated. Because there are people, because we're going to talk about like neighbors, and there are people that God says are my neighbors that I want to move. Like political ideology, I want to move. Their view of God makes me want to move. Their language makes me want to move. Their morality makes me want to move. Here's the thing. God said, I put you in the neighborhood that you live in called 2023. And I made this world your neighbor. And I'm like, yeah, God, but it's complicated. And God's like, I'm complicated. So here's our prayer this morning. So we start this series. Our prayer is that God takes those complicated relationships, all of them, and teaches us how to navigate them with spiritual truth. Because the reality is we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against crazy people. We wrestle against powers and principalities. And we learn how God wants us to interact with our friends, with our spouse, and with our neighbors. Now, we've learned how to navigate relationships that are complicated. And honestly, that's something I need because I don't always win at that struggle. So, with that being said, I'm going to pray in just a second. We're going to welcome Jay. So, Jay is in our ordination process. Absolutely. Give him a round of applause. So I have known Jay since high school. So the crazy stories that I tell about high school and a bunch that we don't, he was there for. And actually, I'm like, bro, people think I make this stuff up. And he's like, no, you like G'd it down, man. Like it was. So neither one of us knew Jesus at that time. We reconnected several months ago. He and his wife, Carrie, and their family, we just honor you guys for supporting him this morning. But his father-in-law is here today, which, man, if your father-in-law shows up to support you and not burn you in effigy, you're doing something right. But we're here. I believe in the call that God has put on Jay's life. If you don't know, our church has a plan of planting another location in about a year and a half, 18 months or so, depending on that process. And we have some amazing leaders, Liz and JC, Jay, and man, we're just giving them some space to answer that call that God's put on their life. And honestly, we've already had people approach us about the next round of ordination. And they're like, hey, can we be a part of that? Because we feel like this is a call that God has on our life. And we just honor that because our church believes in three things. We believe this is a place where you know God, you grow in God, and then dadgummit, go do something for God. You may not be a pastor, but get off your seat and go do something. Does that make sense? We're going to talk about that neighbors. But anyway, but my point is I believe in the call that God has on Jay's life. And we're going to pray, and then I'm going to let him just rip it and grip it and rip it. Is that fair? Let's go. God, we just thank you for the day. I thank you for my brother, Jay. God, I believe that you put a call of God on his life. God, I thank you for his wife, Carrie. God, for his kids. God, we honor that. So this morning, God, as he comes to bring your word, we just trust you that it will bring forth a harvest, God, not for our glory, not for his glory, but Father, for yours. Will you change hearts and lives this morning through your servant and through your son? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give Jay a round of applause.
Good morning, everybody. I'd like to first thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I am nothing without him, and he is the reason why I'm standing here.
Amen.
He took me, that unbeliever, to believe and walk by faith, and he has protected me all my life. And I'm going to give the glory to God, first and foremost. Second, I am so thrilled to be part of Thrive Church, this ordination process. I want to thank Pastor Adam, Pastor Tracy, for allowing me the gift to be able to give a message to all you good folks. Also, everybody here is like family. We're gonna have a good time today. This month is the year anniversary of the passing of my mom. So I want to dedicate in her memory. She never got to hear me preach. I was a lay speaker in the Methodist church prior to coming to Thrive, prior to COVID when everything shut down. After my dad passed away, it's been over a decade ago, she had major strokes and had to be in a rest home for 10 years. And that was one thing she never got to hear me preach. During church, I would do opening and then I would leave opening while Sunday school's going on and I would go to eastern side of Burlington to go visit my mom and have devotion time. And she said, Jay, I know you're good at what you do as a cop, but I'm going to tell you something. I really feel like the Lord is calling you to be a pastor. And I'm like, no, I'm stiff-arming Jesus because, you know, I'm successful in what I do. I know what I'm doing, and that's difficult because that's vulnerable to be up here and to be able to speak and to know that I didn't honor God my whole life. So this is into the memory of my mom, Phyllis Corbett. I will have many stories at my day to be with the Lord, to be able to reconnect with my mom and my family. So something that I say to people when we start becoming friends is I'll say, hey, we're Toy Story. And they'll go, Toy Story? What is that? Well, you got a friend in me. And infinity and beyond. So today, what I want to do is to make sure that we're all Toy Story after this message. Now, one person I'm going to embarrass this morning because she is exemplifies Toy Story, who's been with me thick and thin, who's my wife, Carrie, the love of my life. We've been married in May. It'll be 24 years. Now, we've got a lot of first responders here. Thank you. All goes to her. 24 years of marriage and being a cop's wife. There's been a lot of nights that I never came home until super late. I've been injured and come home. She's taken care of me. She's really been the rock of our family, and I have to give her, if I'm going to talk about friendship, she is my true friend that even all the ugly she sees in me, she still chooses to stand beside me. And I hope that we can talk about this and see what the world says versus what God and Jesus says. And that we can maybe be an example, especially to the younger people here, that it's going to be complicated. It's going to be a journey. But if you stick with your best friend, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a great thing. So there's two views that we're going to talk about, the world, society, and then on the other hand is God and Jesus. So what does the world say about friendship? Well, Webster's definition is a person whom one knows and one whom has been bound of mutual affection. typically exclusive of sexual or family relations. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. That is a bland definition of friendship. That is something that I don't want to be part of. I mean, that's kind of like a Facebook friend. Now, I haven't been on social media forever. My wife can tell me about everybody's food choices and everything else. It's the same old, same old. But, you know, we are being conditioned by social media to gain hundreds of friends so we can get a thumbs up or you go, boy, or, oh, that's a great picture. Is that really what you want or friends? I don't think so. And I think God wants a deeper relationship. But how do we find friends in this world? And I'm going to tell you today. So what does God say about friendship? So if we'll pull up the first slide, John 15, 12, chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. This is the Lord's words as he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, and if you do what I command you, no longer do I call you servants. For the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you my friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So right now we're going to talk about the love of friendship as someone laying down his life for friends, because Jesus showed this greater love on the cross. Amen? All right. So I'm going to give you a good Bible story about friends. These three individuals, they had a swashbuckling adventure. They were quite cavalier. Yes, is exactly who you're thinking of. It's the three of Daniel's friends. No, it's not the three musketeers. That is a candy bar. So it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I'm going to tell you a quick story of that. In Babylon, there was a king, King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a very vain type, narcissistic like any other king would be, and had erected a big statue of himself for people to worship. Well, these three had been working in his courts and doing a great job because they're godly people. Well, the other Babylonians that worked with them, have you ever had anybody that worked with you that were jealous of you? And what they did was, well, you know, I don't like them three. They do exactly what they're supposed to do. They're not really with us. So instead of asking them, how can we be successful? Show us that way. Let's do the old world definition and stab them right in the back and throw them under the bus, right? They're not worshiping the statue. So let's go talk to the king. Hey, king, they're not worshiping the statue. And you can imagine the king, you know, the unmitigated gall of them not worshiping me. Bring them to my chamber. So they came, the three of them. They got in front of the king, and he wanted to show some benevolence. He wanted to show that he was a good guy. He gave them a chance. He said, worship me. They all stood together. They stood together, and they were like, no, Jehovah's our God. That's breaking the commandment. We're not doing that. Well, you're going to be thrown in a fiery furnace. Now, let's pause. I know Jay over here, if I was one of the three, Jehovah's our God, I'd be like, Jehovah's our God. Worship us. No. You're going into a fiery furnace. Excuse me? My last name ain't DiGiorno, and I don't want to be put in that pizza oven, okay? I got fair skin, and I burn. Do you have a prison camp? Just saying. So, they said, you know what? Our God's so great, we're going to go in there. They ain't even going to singe hairs on us. Now, this is a great story of friendship and sticking together. But this is also a great story of faith, because they knew it and they called it. So they put them in there, flames going. It was hotter than a $2 pistol in that furnace. And what happened? The king looked around. If you don't know what that means, that's kind of a cop thing. It's a stolen gun. Come on. Follow me now. So they're in there and they're looking and they go, wait a minute. Hey, Joe, come here. There's always a Joe in a bunch. Hey, Joe, you said there was only three people, right? Well, there's a fourth guy in the furnace. It's Jesus Christ. It's cool as a cucumber. They come out like, what? I'm burnt. I'm nothing. Look at me. So Nebuchadnezzar was like, praise their God. Don't you mess with them. We're going to give them more. Think about that. Through their faith, now they've got more responsibility. Through their struggle and their strife and their furnace, not that they gave up and leaned on the world's understanding. They leaned on God's understanding, and look at the blessings and the multiplication in their lives. So let me ask you some questions. If we got some note takers, we're going to write some stuff down today. Are you or do you have true friends like this? Would you stand beside your friend in a fiery furnace, or would they, would you? Can you list three friends that would go to the ends of the earth and to the flames with you? Well, I want to answer some of that right now. Jesus is our true friend. Jesus will be in that furnace with you. He has been with me through multiple storms, furnaces, whatever analogies we want to say. And yes, it has been tough times. It's my birthday. Hallelujah. I'm still standing. And I'm up here preaching on my birthday. Jesus is still right here. And let me tell you, this week before leading up to this, I had two water leaks, had to pump the septic tank. I got a new lieutenant, a new CID sergeant. We've had shootings and robberies and all that thrown my way. He wanted me off my guard. Well, guess what? I woke up this morning and said, not today, Satan. I'm right here. Praise God. So let's throw up John 15:12-15 again, if we may. And I'm going to go to where it says, you are my friend. For what I've commanded you to do, if you follow my commands, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for that I have heard my Father, and I've made it known to you. So in Christ, we're no longer enemies of God. We're no longer slaves to sin. Okay? So if you want to have real friends, you first need to know, right, friendship with God. And the friendship with God is only through Jesus Christ. He's the true friendship. He's the conduit, right? To make us to where we are, friends with God. So here at Thrive, and Pastor Adam has already talked about application. Now, Pastor Adam does a very good job. I'm bragging on him. I'm loving on him. Not only does he give us the word, people, he gives us application to the world, to the word. And him and Pastor Tracy have done a really good job with us in the ordination process, preparing to be up here, not only just to give you to the word, give the word to you. How many times have you been to church and you leave out more confused than when you got there? So we really need to apply this, because that battle is coming. And I'm not talking about the Chinese delivery new thing with the balloon. We're not talking about that. We're talking about spiritual warfare. We're talking about a lot of things we need to be prepared. So, 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. Apostle Paul speaks, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, am I a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal? If I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all away I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. See, you can be the best, or your friend can be the best. You can have charisma, you can have talent, you can have money, but without love, you're just a noisy gong. So here's some things for you to consider and reflect upon. If you got your pen and paper, write it down. Are you or your friends a noisy gong? Are you with your friends, or are they with you because they want something from you? That they got season passes to the Panther game? Are they real handy? Which, if you're looking for somebody handy, go to Jesse. Don't go to me. I'm not handy. Or go to my father-in-law. And that, but you don't reciprocate that, and you're always calling them to come fix something at your house? Right? Maybe they like to... They've got money, and they want to take you on lavish vacations. But that's the only time you see them. Take away from this verse is that without love, then friendship is shifting sand. Without love, friendship is shifting sand. It is not on a firm foundation. And people, the firm foundation, the rock, the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. If you're getting, if you can read between the lines here, what we're talking about is Jesus. So let's talk about that love part. Apostle Paul talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice of wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will all pass away. This part of love, that Toy Story love, that agape sacrificial love, only Jesus can quench that urge in your heart for true friendship and is a model, an example that we can follow. So question, do we love like that? Do our friends love like that? Am I patient and kind, trustworthy? Am I the only one giving grace here? And it's not being reciprocated? Those friends, those so-called friends, the likes, the Facebook friends. And lastly, is Jesus not only my friend, but my Savior? What I want you to do today is I want you to take stock in your friendship. And if you see the things that I'm telling you that are not good or not aligned with God, then maybe you need to do a little retrospect, a little reflection. Because I'm going to tell you some biblical warnings now. And there's tons of them. But for brevity, I'm just picked two. And we're going to the wisest man there was. Solomon. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. How do we get righteous? Through Christ. He leads us on that righteous path. But the enemy's at foot. He is not all powerful. The lowercase d. He's not all powerful. He's not all knowing. He's not omnipresent. But if you don't think that he's not going to try to trip you up with all his goons out here, Brother TJ talked about that. We know the percentages and the numbers he laid down for us. They will pull you away from what God intends you for true friendship. Proverbs 22 through 20, chapter 22 through 24 to 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. The devil leads traps. Now, when I said that, I looked at my wife because I'm going to tell you something, people. When I was working permanent night shift as a sergeant in Jamestown, I was hot-tempered and I was ill. Can I get an amen from my first responders? Living off of coffee, truck stop coffee, the most unhealthiest food, sleeping 4 hours and working 12 to 16, it will wear you down like an old school pencil. And if you don't have a true friend that can look beyond that and to go, God, I love this guy to death, but I don't like him right now. He needs some more Jesus. And that's what we're trying to do today, people. We're trying to get it to where we understand. And like Adam said, and thank you for saying that, Pastor Adam. Look, we're still on a journey in our salvation. It's not a one stop. Yeah, we are saved, but there's more to it. We're trying to make changes, habits. It is a process. Guess when that process is done? When you're done and you're called up. So don't ever think that it's automatically done and we can just sit back. It's not. See, if you choose the world, there's an old Southern saying. There's many, but there's one I can say in church. If you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. I know some of you, when you're already, because I'm going to tell you, I've been really impressed since we've been here, my family. And thanks again for welcoming us here in Thrive. It really means, I can feel the sincerity. There's no pomp and circumstance. And I mean that. That's not written down. And I just really feel like I'm so grateful, guys. I really am. Very grateful. But I know we're sitting here and you can already name friends you need to get rid of. They're dragging you down. God raises you up. So in recap, in closing, are you or your friends willing to go into a raging furnace? Are you using your friends or being used by them? Are you a noisy gong without love in the relationship? Do we love like this? And do our friends love like that? Am I patient, kind, the virtues? Is Jesus not only my friend, but my personal Lord and Savior? See, Jesus is our best friend. He is the true friend that will always be there and be in your fire. He gave us his life and bore our sins, even though he did not sin. He did this, people, so we could have a relationship with God our Father. He even extended it to his enemies. And why would we not want to have an example of true friendship? See, today I want you to know that hopefully you know that you have a friend in me, but you have a friend in Jesus. Today, I'm telling you, me and Jesus, we're Toy Story. Infinity and beyond. Pray with me. Hey, Lord, this is Jay, and thank you again for another birthday, and I'm so grateful to be here, to be used by you. Allow your blessings to flow upon this church, these members, our guests, this community. Be with us as Pastor Adam and Tracy shoot out into the stars for what is, people say may be impossible, but it's possible with you, what the plans you have for Thrive Church.
Yeah.
Thank you for being our true friend that's going to be in any fiery furnace that we might end up in. I love you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. You know, I just wonder if somebody's here today and you say, you know what, I don't know that relationship that you're really talking about with a friend. Statistics say this, you're the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. I'm just going to be honest with you. One of those people needs to be Jesus. So with every head down, every eye closed, nobody looking around. And I just wonder if you're here today or you're on our online campus, and we welcome those folks in this morning. You're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm here and I hear Jay talking, but man, I can't love like that because I've never experienced that kind of love. I can't give grace like that because I've never received that kind of grace. I can't forgive people for the stuff that they've done wrong because I've never received that kind of forgiveness. If that's you this morning, will you just slip your hand up? Man, as a congregation, we're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to help you find your way to Jesus. Thank you so much. Anybody else just says, you know what, Pastor? This is my day. This is the day where I make a decision to have that best friend that sticks in the fire with me. Can we pray together across this place? Dear Heavenly Father, right now I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. Today I declare that you're my Lord and Savior and my best friend. Today I become a son or daughter of the King. In Jesus' name, amen. Give these folks a round of applause. Biggest decision, honestly, you can ever make in your entire life. Jay, happy birthday. You crushed it. That was that honestly, like that was, Scripture says to give honor to whom honor's due. Brother, we honor you and the gift that God's put in your life this morning. That message was on point. Man, it was easy to track with. It's easy for me to stop and write 3 or 4 questions down and go, man, do I need to evaluate? I love this. What kind of friend am I? Before I ever get to they, I've got to deal with me. Because there's some people that I go, man, I need to be a better friend to. Y'all ain't going to amen me because they stepped on your toe too. It's all right. It's okay. But then I also look and go, you know what? I've got some people that I've been allowing to use me, and it's not healthy to them. Like, I could keep going, but you know what? I can't help you sin. I wouldn't go buy crack for my crack addict friend. I wouldn't go buy a fifth for my alcoholic friend. Why in the world am I going to, why am I going to let you continue to use me and take you further away from God? I'm not doing it because I don't love you. I'm doing it because I do. Man, what truth in that?
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.